fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the FIFA Arab Cup football tournament in Qatar. The field is now set for the quarterfinals, and they'll feature four teams from North Africa, Egypt, Algeria, Morocco, and Tunisia. In matches Tuesday, Egypt and reigning African champion Algeria played to a one-all draw. Morocco defeated Saudi Arabia 1-0. Jordan beat Palestine 5-1. And Lebanon edged Sudan 1-0. Egypt and Algeria finished atop Group D with 7 points each. Morocco topped Group C with the maximum 9 points from three matches. And Tunisia, which wrapped up group play Monday, finished first in Group B with 6 points. In quarterfinal matches Friday, Tunisia will take on Oman and Qatar will host the United Arab Emirates. And on Saturday, Egypt will play Jordan and Morocco will meet Algeria. Now, the Pharaohs of Egypt are playing without Mohamed Salah, their two-time African Footballer of the Year, who has remained with his English club, Liverpool. On Tuesday, Salah and Divock Origi scored goals as Liverpool beat AC Milan in Italy 2-1 in a UEFA Champions League match. Liverpool is the first English club to win all six of its group matches on its way to the knockout stage. At the post-match news conference, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp said he was delighted with his team's performance.
I don't feel pride a lot in football because it's most of the time I expect good things happen, to be honest. But that tonight fills me with a lot of pride. It's exceptional performance. I don't mean it's that we won six games. The reason is especially this game. And because it was so good. And with that many changes, it's easy for me to make the changes, but in the end, the boys have to be then confident enough to show how good they are. And I saw so many good football things tonight. It was absolutely incredible. And as a side effect, we won all the games, which is absolutely incredible. And it's just another chapter in the history of this wonderful group of players. What they did in the last few years is exceptional, but it's nothing, it's not a prize, really. You win something, but it's nice. But I would have taken each points tally to go to the next round. And, 18 is the best, so we take that as well.
Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp speaking after his team's 2-1 victory over AC Milan in the UEFA Champions League. In another Champions League match Tuesday, Ajax defeated Sporting Lisbon of Portugal 4-2 in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports holla for Ajax's Ivorian striker, Sebastian Haller. He scored on a penalty kick in the 8th minute to make history as the first player to score in his first 6 Champions League appearances. Haller now has 10 goals in this season's Champions League. Only Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored 11 in 2015-2016, has more goals in the group stage. And Sebastian Haller and Ajax are through to the knockout round in the UEFA Champions League.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Paul Tergat is now the president of the National Olympic Committee of Kenya, and he looks set for another 4-year term in office. The 52-year-old Tergat is running unopposed heading into Thursday's elections. The former marathon world record holder and double Olympic silver medalist originally was elected in 2017. He succeeded Kip Keino, a double Olympic gold medalist who had been National Olympic Committee of Kenya president since 1999. Meanwhile, Kenya was the top performing African team at this year's Tokyo Olympics. Team Kenya won 10 medals, 4 gold, 4 silver, and 2 bronze. But other African teams also had success in Japan. If we look back on the games, July 30th was a big day with a world record performance by a South African swimmer and Team Ethiopia and Team Uganda winning their first Olympic medals on the track. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight, let's go back to late July in the Japanese capital. Ladies first, South African swimmer Tatjana Schoonmaker made a big splash in the Olympic pool. She set a world record in winning her country's first gold medal in Tokyo. The AP's Denny Kapp reports.
The women's 200-meter breaststroke turned out to be the highlight. South African Tatjana Schoonmaker set a world record, posting a swim of just under 2 minutes and 19 seconds.
It didn't feel real to actually break a 2:19. 2:19 has been in the record books for so long. No one has really broken it, so for me in my head, it was just like if I could get to that time that I swam in the heats and the semis, I would have been so happy. And I was when I saw the 2:19. It couldn't have been a better race. It was really just such a tough race, and we were all racing to do well. And it just still doesn't sink in, so maybe one day.
American Lily King finished less than a second behind her, earning the silver in one of the best swims of her life.
I just wanted to go out fast and see if I could hang on, and I haven't watched the race yet, but I feel like I did, so good enough for a silver medal and a best time, so I'm really happy.
And her teammate Annie Laser surprised the field by snagging the bronze. Ryan Murphy earned Team USA's only other medal, a silver in the men's 200-meter backstroke. I'm Denny Kapp.
Thanks, Denny. On the Olympic track, Team Ethiopia and Team Uganda won their first medals at the Tokyo Games in the men's 10,000 meters race. Ethiopia's Selemon Barega won the gold in a time of 27 minutes and 43.22 seconds. And the Ugandans, Joshua Cheptegei and Jacob Kiplimo, won the silver and bronze, respectively. Now, Cheptegei is the world record holder at 10,000 meters, but as an indicator of how tactical Olympic finals can be, Joshua's time in Tokyo of 27 minutes and 43.63 seconds was more than a minute and a half slower than his world record.
My name is Shida Lane, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida. Two Olympic lowlights for Africa in Tokyo were the disqualification of 10 Nigerian athletes and a serious injury suffered by a South African skateboarder. Samson Omale reports.
The Athletics Federation of Nigeria admitted lapses on its part over the disqualification of 10 athletes from the Tokyo Olympics for not complying with out-of-competition drug testing requirements. The Athletics Integrity Unit had announced the disqualification of the Nigerian athletes. The AFN, which has been plagued by power tussle for several years, said they will take responsibility for the lapses that led to the disqualification in Tokyo even before the events got started. Sheyi Ogunlewe, a Nigerian sprinter who did not make it to the Tokyo Games, and Emmanuel Adeboyega, a sprint coach, blamed the Nigerian administrators for the embarrassment.
I don't think this has happened anywhere in the world before. I've never heard of this story before. Like, you get to the Games and you're not competing because of the incompetence of the people that are meant to be in charge. So unfortunately, I'm devastated for the guys that are there who are meant to be in the right frame of mind to compete.
Let me even leave ministry and federation. The coaches, they know the athletes have qualified. Are you telling me my athletes will be in the Olympic team? And I know that if it is not, it doesn't go for like 3 out of competition doctors, even be eligible, I'm a coach and I will not know that.
And now to skateboarding. South Africa's youngest representative at the Tokyo Olympic Games, Boipelo Awua, was forced to withdraw after fracturing her pelvis while practicing for the women's street competition. The 15-year-old Northern Cape High School pupil was Africa's only representative in the women's street skateboarding event. Awua speaks of her experience at the Olympics shortly after her return to South Africa.
My injury, I feel like it's skateboarding, and skateboarding is a dangerous sport. But going into the competition, I feel like I was well prepared and I've worked very hard for this. But the injury, it happened, and there's nothing I can really do about that. My focus right now is just to heal properly and then discuss with my family and then discuss on when I can get back to training and make it to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games and do my best and hopefully come back with a medal next time.
The teenager also provided some details about her injury and what is next for her.
The injury happened my second day of practice, and it was just such a weird injury because during my run, I was practicing, and this trick was something that I'm used to, and in skateboarding, it's such a technical sport. And then I don't know what happened, but then I got the fracture, but I continued skating for that day. And then only later on, I saw a doctor. We went for x-rays, and I found out I fractured my pelvic bone.
That's South African skateboarder Boipelo Awua. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports wish Boipelo good luck, good health, and we hope to see you skateboarding at the 2024 Olympics in Paris. And thanks to Samson Omale for that report.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In auto racing, Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton will be powering his Mercedes on Sunday in the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix in the United Arab Emirates. The 36-year-old Hamilton is chasing a record 8th World Drivers Championship, but he says he wants his greatest legacy to be a more diverse Formula One circuit. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Lewis Hamilton is hailed as one of the greatest Formula One drivers to ever grace a circuit. But in a recent video interview from the Mercedes F1 factory, Hamilton tells Reuters News he wants his legacy to be about much more than winning championships. He wants to be remembered for creating greater diversity in the sport.
I think I always wanted to be remembered as one of the best drivers of all time. Probably deep down, wanted to be remembered, you know, working towards being the greatest driver of all time. Having all these championships is a cool thing, for sure, but what do you do with all those, right? So I really hope my legacy, when people look back in 10, 20 years, they look back and see a more diverse sport. It's because I challenge the sport and I challenge individuals that are in power.
Hamilton is F1's first and only black driver in the sport's 75-year history. And the Englishman says when he made his F1 debut in 2007, he knew he was different.
My whole career, my dad and I, we were the only people of color at the track, always. And then we got to Formula One and it was exactly the same. and I never quite truly understood why. And I'd ask the question always to my bosses, people that I work with in the industry, and no one ever had an answer. And they were comfortable with not knowing also, in the sense that, well, they just know people of color that are applying. It starts with education. So I was like, I'm gonna do this research because no one else is doing it. Try and find out what the barriers are, why people aren't applying. These are the facts, these are the issues, these are the barriers, and this is how we can work together to implement change. And it's a real conscious effort. You know, you have to make a conscious effort. I arrive on photo shoots and I'll be continuously the only person of color there. I arrive in meetings and the only person of color there. I arrive at the race, even still today, I will continue in the driver's briefing, the only person of color there. So the goal ultimately is to create an ecosystem that reflects the outer world, right? Creating opportunities is what it's about. And it goes all the way down to education, which is really where it all starts.
Hamilton is a leader on the circuit and in the forefront off the track in promoting inclusion for people of color. Last year, he launched the Hamilton Commission alongside the Royal Academy of Engineering to address the underrepresentation of black people in UK motorsport. This past July, the commission released a 93-page report that examined the issue and included 10 recommendations for change. That report dovetailed into the creation of a new charitable initiative called Ignite in partnership with Mercedes to support diversity and inclusion in motorsport. Through his organizations, Hamilton hopes to encourage lasting change in a sport where he has excelled. He is the most successful driver in F1 history, winning a record 102 races and tying with Michael Schumacher as a 7-time Formula One world champion. And the Mercedes driver says on the track, he continues to face the deep-seated fear of not living up to his potential.
I don't win a race and go, wow, great. Never ever felt that. I'm just always thinking, okay, how can I be better? It lasts for a short moment, the success. But then straight away your mind's on, well, actually, what people didn't see is, you know, I lost a bit of time there, or I could have been better here through the pit stops. So it's a never-ending cycle of searching for perfection. I mean, ultimately, greatness is someone that's probably gone the highest that they can go in terms of what they could achieve. Greatness is also, though, is about humanity and about helping people and how you connect with people and leaving your mark on the planet.
Back on the track, Lewis Hamilton is currently tied in F1 points with Dutchman Max Verstappen as the two men head towards their season-ending finale at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix this Sunday. Max Verstappen is vying for his first Formula One trophy. Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton is racing toward a record 8th championship title. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100-hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. In African table tennis, Nigeria's 3-time Olympian Aruna Quadri is having one of the best years of his career. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos.
Nigeria's Aruna Quadri, who plays professional table tennis with TTC Rosprondel Mabezel, a German Bundesliga tennis team, has recorded some impressive results in major international tournaments. Quadri became the first African player to reach the quarterfinals of the World Table Tennis Championships in Houston, Texas, 3 weeks ago. Quadri continued his impressive outing when he defeated world number 8, Liang Jingkun, at the World Table Tennis Finals in Singapore to reach the round of 16, the first by an African player. Though Quadri lost in the quarterfinals at the Singapore tournament, he says he's satisfied with his games.
It was a good one. Winning against a Chinese player raised my hope that I can still do better. I'm very happy and excited to have been invited for top 16 in Singapore. And these are actually made me work more harder and harder.
Quadri has represented Nigeria at 3 Olympic Games. The most memorable outing was at the Rio Games, where he became the first African player to play at the quarterfinals. He says his performance at the World Table Tennis Cup Finals in Singapore will motivate young African players to do better in future.
My performance in Singapore has actually raised the hope of every African table tennis players that everything is possible. The likes of Omar Asar, Omotayo Olajide, and Ibrahim from Senegal can actually do better in the future.
Quadri is the highest-ranked African table tennis player and a former African champion. He says the key to the success of young African players is discipline and hard work.
The young ones should keep working harder and believe in their dream of becoming a great player. Discipline is very important. And, of course, if they work very hard, stay determined and be disciplined, everything is very possible to achieve.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. I'm Aruna Quadri, Nigerian professional table tennis player, presently playing for Rosprondel Fudal Mabasel Club of Germany. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sukus, afrobeat to dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the basketball beat, the NBA's two most successful teams, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics, renewed their rivalry Tuesday night in Los Angeles, California. The Lakers cruised to a 15-point victory, as we hear now from the AP's Mark Myers in Los Angeles.
The Lakers got a big night from their big three as they rolled over the Celtics 117-102. LeBron James scored 30 points and said he liked what he saw.
I'm proud of the team today. Proud of, you know, how we just came out with our mindset. Had our hard hats on from the beginning. And played a heck of a game from start to finish.
Russell Westbrook added 24 points, and Anthony Davis had 17 with 16 rebounds. The Lakers led by as many as 20 points in the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum led Boston with 34. Both teams now with identical 13-12 records. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel says his team is headed in the right direction.
We had a strong belief in what this group can accomplish. We knew there's going to be some bumps in the road early. This is expected to our group. And we're staying locked in, staying together, and, improving. And we're seeing growth each game.
Frank Vogel's coaching counterpart for the Boston Celtics is Ime Udoka, who used to play for Nigeria's national men's team, the Tigers. Udoka expressed disappointment over the loss to the Lakers.
I feel like we were out hustled, out toughed a little bit. They wanted to put their head down, get the basket, and they did too easily. So it hasn't happened in a long time. So I told the guys, flip on the radar.
Now let's go to Dallas, Texas, where the Brooklyn Nets used a big second half rally to beat the Dallas Mavericks. The AP's Bob Stevens reports from Dallas.
The Brooklyn Nets rallied from a 17-point deficit to edge the Dallas Mavericks 102-99. So the Nets improved to 17-7 overall, 9-2 on the road, while the Mavs dropped to 11-12, their fifth loss in the last six games. The Nets trailed by 11 after three, but outscored the Mavs 27-13 in the fourth, highlighted by Kevin Durant, who had 11 of his team-high 24 in that quarter.
So I think we did a good job of keeping them in front, making them play one-on-one over us, and we was able to hold them to 40% shooting and 37 points in the second half. That's a great team effort.
James Harden had 23 points, 12 assists.
Obviously they missed some shots, but I think we contested their shots, and this is a make or miss league. You make shots, it's easier. If you miss shots, it's gonna be pretty difficult to win. And just a good game, good four quarters of just staying with it.
Luka Doncic led the Mavs with a game-high 28 points and 9 assists.
Just stick together, You have 82 games. You've only been, 22 games in. And, it's a lot of games. We got a lot of things to learn and a lot of things to work on.
Kristaps Porzingis had 17 points and 12 boards.
Our energy on both ends was high. I feel like this game is more of a shooting again, more of a shooting thing, and fourth quarter. Even without the shooting, we could have done a better job in the fourth.
Bob Stevens, Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. In another NBA game played in Texas Tuesday night, the New York Knicks snapped a three-game losing streak with a 121-109 victory over the host San Antonio Spurs. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to New York's R.J. Barrett. R.J. made a career-high 7 three-point shots and scored 32 points.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Major League Soccer will hold its 26th MLS Cup Championship match on Saturday in the Northwest U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. That's where the Portland Timbers will host New York City FC. The Timbers lifted the MLS Cup in 2015. This is the first time New York City has reached the final. New York is relatively new to MLS. New York entered the league as an expansion team in 2015. And speaking of expansion, MLS Commissioner Don Garber, during his State of the League address on Tuesday, said Las Vegas, Nevada remains the front runner to land MLS's 30th team. And one other MLS note, Spanish midfielder Carlos Gil of the New England Revolution has been named the league's most valuable player. Despite missing six matches, Gil led MLS in assists with 18 and added 4 goals. And And that wraps up the December 8th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.